Hello and welcome to the Real Film Podcast with me, Corey.
And me, Phil. Hello.
Hello, Phil. Today we're just going to be doing a little knee-jerk reaction to the Oscar noms. They came out on Tuesday. I think overall, to be fair, I think as nominations go, there's some surprises, I guess, not really. I think everyone kind of thought the films in there were going to be in and around all of the categories, but there are some ones that we're probably going to have to talk about because they're pretty bad, I would say. Bad surprises. But yeah, I think just to sort of clarify, being from the UK, we don't always get the best sort of times for like film releases, especially when it comes to this season. So, and unfortunately, we don't do this as a job, so we can't, we don't have the luxury of watching them. So yeah, basically, we're gonna sort of go through the categories, mostly the main ones. Give a little knee-jerk reaction as to sort of anything that stands out in those categories. We might mention who we think will win and then potentially ones we want to win. But we are basing who we want to win really on what we've managed to watch so far. And we will eventually do an Oscar podcast after the awards have happened, and hopefully we will have watched pretty much all of them. So forgive us if we're sort of leaving out anything. For example, Zone of Interest, I know neither of us have watched that. So forgive us if we don't, you know, praise that film during this podcast. I'm sure we will get to it.
There's a bit of a problem that you and I always have, which is in about February, March, we just watch a lot of Oscar films because that's when a lot of them come out for us. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have to front load the start of the year by watching all of these like really heavy Oscar bait films at the start of the year. And then we just watch whatever for the rest of the year until, you know, February comes around again and we can start watching them again.
Yeah, we've always kind of said, haven't we, that it's sort of like the award season and there's a big lull where we end up kind of like catching up on older films. Films that we've never seen before. And then you kind of, you get your summer blockbusters and then you get into, and then a few more start to come out. It's a vicious cycle, but we manage to watch them, don't we?
So it's we catch them. It's always funny listening to American podcasts though, because they always say about how January, February, March is like a dumping ground of shit films, and that's the complete opposite for us because that's when all the Oscar films come out.
that's when all the best ones come out for it. We'll get right into it. We are gonna spend more time on like the core, I suppose it's the core eight, if you would say. So that is the acting awards, director, best picture, and the screenplays. A little bit of a mention of international and animation, and then if there's anything else that we kind of, anything stands out to you, Phil, just, I know that you're an editor, so I imagine film editing will be on there as well.
I don't want to talk about that else at all. No, don't know what you're talking about. No, of course,
anything else we might pick up. But first of all, so it's actor in a leading role, and the nominees are Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. In terms of, I guess, just what's been happening over awards season, maybe the big ones that people were saying what's been left out and what's not, I think Leonardo DiCaprio, I guess, I think for Killers of the Flower Moon. And also there's an argument to say that Andrew Scott was probably in contention for All of Us Strangers. But overall, those five seem not predictable, but kind of predictable.
I was a little bit surprised that Leo wasn't nominated, but I'm also not annoyed because I think his performance is good in Killers of the Flower Moon, but I think part of the reason it's good is because of how passive he is as a person. And I don't really feel like you should be giving out awards for passiveness in your acting. I just don't feel like it's a performance that warrants.
I think it's
lovely statues.
Yeah, I agree. I think I do really like Leo in that film, and I haven't seen Rustin, and I will watch it. I think it's on Netflix, actually. And Colman Domingo, I know, has been sort of popping up throughout award season for this, and I haven't seen it, so I can't judge as well, because he seems like the one that would be the one to replace in terms of like what's most likely to be nominated, I think, coming into this. Yeah. That one was the one that was either going to be Andrew Scott, probably not Andrew Scott, but Leo or Colman Domingo. I'm not angry about any of these choices, really. I think Leo, like you said, he's very passive. I really like his performance, but I think there's performances in Killers of the Flower Moon that are nominated that deserve to be there.
Absolutely. I was going to say about Bradley Cooper as Maestro, though, that I ever
Of course,
since
yeah.
I'm not that keen on his performance in Maestro. I think it's
Like
fine,
that.
but it's so baity, and there are sections where it's kind of like it feels like a caricature. Like, especially,
Yeah.
I didn't know lots about Leonard Bernstein going into it. Obviously, know who he was. I knew who he was, but I wasn't super familiar with, like the kind of performance you'd expect someone to play, and it does feel a little bit caricature-y in certain sections. Not
Yeah.
saying it's a bad performance, but I was just a little bit sort of like, yeah, you know, his nomination feels a little bit, I don't know, but he's kind of become a bit of a he's gone from being this Hollywood leading man moneymaker to trying to become this sort of awards darling, hasn't he? And I think I
Yeah.
remember him saying the year that he didn't win directing or best picture for Star Is Born that he apparently apologized to his cast and crew for not, and that's just cringy. And like,
Right.
I don't know, just, and listening
This
to him talk on the sort of press run for this film, he is just an insufferable bastard. He's so
Yeah,
cringy.
it is insufferable. One thing I'm not looking forward to is watching Bradley Cooper at the
Yeah, no,
Oscars.
absolutely not.
Even his, because I mean, he's, I don't think he's going to win. We'll get onto a little prediction in a minute, but I just can't imagine. His face is infuriating. I never used to find
Yeah.
his face infuriating, but that reaction that he's going to do when he loses is going to be even more infuriating.
Yes, absolutely is. But yeah, he's the I mean, obviously I haven't seen Rustin either, but he's the one that I kind of feel like is a bit sort of, you know, when the Oscars get a little bit too Hollywoody and they kind
Yeah.
of, it feels a little bit like that, where it's like, okay, you're just nominating your friends here, aren't you?
Interestingly, it kind of feels like that kind of nomination that comes from a film, maybe like weirdly from like an early noughties perspective, where it's a film that is a bit bait and people buy into the bait. And I think that his performance is like that. Whereas I don't think Carey
Definitely.
Mulligan's performance is like that at all, but I think
No.
his is a little bit like that. So in
Definitely,
terms
definitely.
of we, like I said, we're going to do a little bit like of who do we think will win, who do we want to win out of everyone? Who's your thinking? Who do we think is going to win?
I think it's going to be Cillian Murphy. I think,
Yeah.
as you'll learn about reading this after I saw the nominations, I think this is going to be Nolan's year. And I think it's going to win fucking everything, basically. And I think Cillian Murphy's going to win for an Oppenheimer. I'm not mad about it because I think he's one of the best things about the film. You know, I've said my opinions before about how I'm not super high on the film, but I think he's one of the best things about it. I don't know if he's the best one in this group. This is one of the ones I haven't seen the most of. I haven't seen the holdovers yet, and I've had loads of people talk about Paul
Yeah.
Giamatti, and I think that would be great because I think Paul Giamatti is great and doesn't sometimes get enough sort of recognition for how good he is. So it would have been nice for that. But I mean, if it's Cillian Murphy, I'm not going to complain. The guy has had a fantastic career too, and it would be nice to sort of like for
Absolutely.
him to get some notice too for it.
Yeah, I agree. I think he'll win it. And I think you're right. I think it is Nolan's year. This is probably well. I don't know. I'll have to get into the details of that. This is probably the only award that I'd be okay with Oppenheimer winning. But we'll have to go through that a little bit. But I think Cillian Murphy probably will win it, and I'm okay with it. I really like Paul Giamatti's performance. I don't know if it's gonna. I mean, it obviously won him the Golden Globe, which is great. It'd be nice to see him win. I'd be more than happy for that. But I do think Cillian Murphy's gonna win it.
Yeah. So why don't we talk about actor and supporting role then? So we've got Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. This one's good for me. I've seen everything except American Fiction out of this one. I've heard Sterling K. Brown is really good in American Fiction, though. And I've said before about how I really liked De Niro's performance in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
I think the comparison I made when we were talking about our year in review was how sometimes when people get older, they rein it in a little bit. They kind of just go for the easy. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. When you've had a career like De Niro, you could just sit back
Absolutely.
and chill out. He's had some of the best performances ever in cinema and is rightly in the conversation for one of the best actors of all time. I still think he pulls out of the bag with him. So the last few years, I think he has been reining in a little bit, and this, I think he pulls out in this. I think Robert Downey Jr. is going to be the one to win it, though. I think they sometimes like to do that thing. Like last year, Brendan Fraser won for Best Actor, and that was kind of like they like that story of someone coming back. I think Robert Downey Jr. has had that sort of like he had a really, really hard go in the noughties. He had his big downfall, but then he came back from Iron Man. But he is a person who can do better than just a comic book hero. And I think he did really show it here. I'm not mad about the character's inclusion in the film, but I think his performance is fantastic. And I think if he did win, I wouldn't be mad about it at all.
No, it kind of looks like, I feel like every year, sometimes the supporting actor, the supporting Oscars usually go, someone absolutely sweeps. And this year, it actually looks like both categories, someone in actress and actor, someone is sweeping. I do think Robert Downey Jr. will win it. I tell you what, the only inclusion I'm pretty sad to see, because in a lot of the award shows, they're actually nominating six people. And Charles Melton for May December, obviously, is the one that missed out here. Now, again, I haven't seen American Fiction, so I can't judge Sterling K. Brown on that. I don't know if I would put Mark Ruffalo in there over Charles Melton.
No, I wouldn't. I personally would. I was going to say the same thing. I think his performance in Poor Things is really fun, but I don't think it's like a best performance of all year. It's just because people weren't expecting it from him. He's had some really good performances in the past, but it's a performance we've never seen from him.
Yeah,
I think this is the thing because
Willem Dafoe's been getting nods here and there, and I don't even think that's really an Oscar word, like just an award. I mean, Willem Dafoe is great in everything; he's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's not really. I think that's all Emma Stone, that film. I don't really
big time.
Whereas Charles Melton is the best thing about May December. I think. I think it's a really interesting story, and it's told. It knows the weight behind the story, but it's also told with a bit of like a humor behind it. But Charles Melton's performance, as someone who is an adult but has never been sort of allowed to get out of that mindset of a teenager, he plays it brilliantly, and it's sort of such an unexpected performance. I think it's a shame not to see him there, but I think Downey Jr. wins this. And do you know what I was thinking earlier? I actually wouldn't be like annoyed if randomly out of nowhere De Niro won it. As like
I wouldn't even.
Here's your third Oscar. Here's your stamp as being one of the greatest actors of all time.
Wouldn't be surprised.
He joins that club. He joins that club of actors who have won three, which is like what, four people, five
this
people.
This will probably be the last time he'll ever get the chance to do it as well. Like
absolutely,
he's getting on. I think it would be difficult for him to pull a performance out like this out again. Not saying that it's not saying it's out of the realm of possibility, but I think this is probably the last chance he's going to get. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Ryan Gosling's including as Barbie is interesting.
I'd love it if Gosling won as Barbie.
So funny. What if the vote is split between De Niro and Junior, Robert Downey Jr., and fucking Ryan Gosling wins it? That would be so funny.
Feel about this? I know we're going to get onto it in a bit later when we get to Best Actress and Director. Obviously, a lot of stuff about Barbie's come out.
Yeah.
This narrative of sort of, it's ironic when you think of the narrative of Barbie that Ken gets the nomination, whereas Barbie doesn't. It's an interesting one.
We can save it to a later if you want, but I have a lot of...
We'll talk about it later. But yeah, it's an interesting thing. The next one is Actress in a Leading Role, which is Annette Bening for Naiad. Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things. It's a pretty decent lineup. I will have to say, I mean, I think the one glare, because I've actually seen all these now.
Nice.
The one glaring one is that Margot Robbie is not there and Annette Bening for Naiad is there. That doesn't make any sense to me. I know there's a sort of bigger narrative there, but that doesn't make sense to me. I think I read somewhere that it could be about how Margot Robbie's lobbying more as a producer for Barbie more so than an actress, and that the Academy voters, because they're all singular people who vote for what they want, a lot of the time they can base it on because of that like political backdrop of like who's like running for it the most, like who wants it the most almost. And maybe that's a case of Annette Bening has been there go as like the actress of her film, whereas Margot Robbie's been there as a producer more so than an actress. I don't know. She should be there, though. Margot Robbie
Absolutely,
should be nominated.
100%, 100%, and I think that could be very true. I also think potentially it might be that Barbie is very much seen as quite a mainstream film at the moment. It's not seen as a big awards Oscar-y dramatic film. It's very much a mainstream and like got the, which is bizarre that it, because that's what Oppenheimer is too. But I feel like that's what a lot of people's opinions are, is that they see it as this kind of like popcorn big blockbuster. Because I mean, the way I saw someone talking about it online about how they basically made an award for Barbie. It was it the Globes who
Yeah, it's like the
made
most of
the
the cinematic box
cinematic
office award.
achievement or whatever it was called. Yeah,
Yeah,
it was like
that was
box
it.
office and stuff like that. And like they fucking made an award for Barbie just so it they didn't get shit for it when not winning Best Picture and stuff like that. And it's just, I don't know. It's just insane to me. It's just insane to me. It's one of the best performances of the year. If she was there, if Margot Robbie was there, she would absolutely be in contention for winning the award.
Yeah, I think so. It's a real shame she's not nominated. I think in terms of who's going to win, it's neck and neck between Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone at the moment.
Do you think?
I think to be honest, because they both won a Globe. Emma Stone won the Critics' Choice,
Yeah.
and I do think that they're still neck and neck, a bit like Michelle Yeoh and Cate Blanchett were a
Oh,
year
sure,
of
yeah.
Tar and Everything Everywhere. Which I don't really know who I prefer. I kind of think everything that Emma Stone has put through in Poor Things, she probably deserved to win, and I think she's fucking great in it. She's so funny. But Lily Gladstone also is, while there is an argument, obviously, from what point of view Killers of the Flower Moon is being told from, Lily Gladstone really is like the core of that film. I think she's fucking great. So either
Absolutely.
one can win for me. I'm okay with that.
I personally would prefer Lily Gladstone to win. I wouldn't be annoyed that Emma Stone was going to win at his great performance, but there is something about Lily Gladstone's, because there's a thing as well that sometimes, I know that you shouldn't always do this, but I like sometimes if you need to pick apart things, like if you've got two performances that are great that are vastly different from each other, how do you start picking them? Choosing between them.
Absolutely,
For
yeah.
me, there's quite a lot of power in Lily Gladstone winning too because of the story that was told in the film. And you know, we said about how the length of the film that a lot of people have struggled with how long the film is. And I think one of the reasons people can sit down and watch it is how good she is in there. And I think I said before about how I think Leo is really good in that role. If the perspective had changed and it was from the Native American point of view, I wonder if this is entirely speculation. I just wonder if it would have been more palatable if you'd been telling it from Lily Gladstone's character's point of view.
Sure,
But
yeah.
I don't know. I think she's absolutely brilliant in it, and it's just one of those things that she says so much without saying much at all. And
Absolutely.
she does this thing where she tries not to change her expression on her face, but you can tell so much is going on. And I think that's so hard to portray that sort of performance. Whereas the funny thing is that Emma Stone's performance it is nominated because of how outrageous and outgoing it is. I think they're two
Yeah.
vastly different. I thought you were going to say Carey Mulligan for Maestro because I keep seeing people saying that.
I just don't see it. I don't see her winning for that. I don't see Maestro winning anything,
I
unless
hope
maybe it
not.
wins Best Makeup. That's the only thing I see it winning. Or
yeah,
music,
yeah.
sorry, as well as I don't know if that's what it's nominated for, but
Hang on, score. No.
no. Well, there you go. I think I don't see just don't see Maestro, and I think Carey Mulligan's really great in that. I think she's the best performer in it.
Definitely. She, I
She's
mean, we might have said it before, but she carries the film. That last
absolutely, yeah.
half, that last act wouldn't work if she wasn't so good in
No, it's already verging on the baitiest thing in the
it.
world, and she is the one that saves it. So, but no, it's a neck and neck
Yeah.
race, which is always quite nice to see, isn't it? Like, it's a bit boring to see, just. It automatically, who's going to win. I mean, you can always guess, but it's nice to know it's neck and neck. I think also from
Yeah.
like an Oscar statuette point of view, yeah, sure, you kind of want the award to go to like the best performance, right? But also, like, it's nice to watch new people win it.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, Emma Stone's won already, and she's great. I wouldn't be annoyed if she wins. I wouldn't be annoyed if she wins. But yeah, I'd probably verge maybe towards Lily Gladstone maybe now. But yeah, yeah, I'm not sure about that really.
The next one then is actress in a supporting role. For this one, we have Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. Now, I haven't seen a couple of the films from this. What I would say is that I think it's nice that Emily Blunt got a nomination, considering how little she is in the film.
Yeah.
I think we both said the same thing, that the only women in Oppenheimer get very little screen time, but they do as much with it as possible. I suppose this is just a testament to what she does with the time she's given. And the Oscars are going to love this one, because they'll be able to show a 30-second clip from that like interview sequence.
The only time she's actually allowed to be a good actress in that.
Exactly. I love America Ferrera getting a nomination for Barbie here. Absolutely, I don't think there's any chance of her winning, but I love that. It would have been great if Margot was nominated for the leading role, but she's great in Barbie, and it is one of those where I thought Barbie wasn't going to get any acting nominations, because I thought they were going to kind of glaze over it. And again, because it's quite funny and it's quite on the surface is quite lighthearted for a lot of the film, I wondered if they were just going to glaze past that. So I guess it's nice. I actually don't know who's going to win, though, because I haven't seen Naiad or The Color Purple. So I feel like
I know, obviously, we're basing this on, like, we can't really make an argument for who we want to win. Yes. I think Divine Joy Randolph is absolutely going to win.
Oh, really?
She's won pretty much every Best Supporting Actress, and she's fucking great in it. Absolutely fine. Just like talking about some of the people who were like sort of again in that sort of realm and have been nominated in other things. Julianne Moore for May December. I think American Ferrera being there, she was sort of like, I would say she's almost like, because obviously no one kind of expected her to be there. I think there's almost like a few in that pool with her who maybe could have taken her place, like Julianne Moore for May December. I think Sandra Hüller is nominated again for Zone of Interest.
Oh, that's crazy.
In a few other things, like I think it's BAFTAs, and then there was talk of Penelope Cruz in Ferrari, but super happy America Ferrera's there. I think she's great. You know exactly what clip they're going to play at the Oscars as well, and it's fucking great.
Absolutely. I just had a thought, sorry. Just thinking about actress and leading role, do you think there was a bit of a miss for Greta Lee for Past Lives?
Yeah.
If there was anything I was missing for supporting role, see if there was anyone I thought I should have been nominated, and I came across that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, without seeing, I don't know who I would remove. Betting for Naiad again, but
I mean, I will talk about Naiad more when we do the review show next. It's on Netflix. I mean, it is very sort of feel good biopic, and I feel like it's kind of like Annette Bening being nominated to me is more like she's an actress who's been around for a long time, and she's always someone who's been in the sort of forefront, not necessarily like blockbusters or anything like that, but like dramas and stuff like that. Kind of your Glenn Close types that get close but never actually win anything. And she's sort of in that realm. So I feel like there is that reasoning for her being nominated. But you're right, Greta Lee would have been great.
Anyway, sorry, sidetracking from actress in supporting role. So you reckon Divine Joy Randolph is definitely going to win?
I think it's pretty dead on she will win. But anything could happen.
Correct choice, you think? Do you think that's the correct choice?
I think she's great. I haven't seen The Color Purple, so I can't judge on that. Mm. Again, the Emily Blunt one is slightly... she doesn't deserve it, but it's because she's not given the chance to deserve it in the film.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why it's sad. But yeah, I think she deserves it. I think she's really good in The Holdovers. Next, probably won't spend as much time talking about this one, but animated feature film. The nominees are The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Interestingly, I think people expected like Disney's Wish to be on there. I haven't seen it. I can't really speak for that, but I've heard it's actually not a very good film, so it's nice to know it's not there. It was also quite nice to see Nimona on there, even if it's not like the greatest one in that list. But yeah, just, I guess, is it between A Boy and a Heron and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse?
I think it is, yeah. Elemental's inclusion is iffy for me. I'm not a big fan.
Isn't it? They're always going to be there.
I know, which is a shame, but we kind of feel like that. But no, I agree. It's between those two. I think it's almost certainly going to be The Boy and the Heron. They just love Miyazaki.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great narrative, even though he has come out of retirement like 3 times.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And I mean, I think he's already said that he's going to make another one anyway, so it's not like it's going to be his last film. But I feel like they'll probably give it to him, potentially, as I know. I think Across the Spider-Verse is a great film. I would love it to win. It would be great. But how often do you see a sequel like that winning? Do you know what I mean? I feel like it...
Yeah, I don't know if it's because maybe the Spider-Man films have had such a cultural impact. Like since the first one's released, that maybe there is an argument for that. But between the two, I like Spider-Verse. So if it wins, I'm not going to be like crazy mad or anything like that. So, you know, can't judge.
Yeah, definitely. Next, we have cinematography. For this, we've nominated El Conde, I think it's pronounced. I hadn't heard of this film before the Oscars nominated it, so... Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I think this is an interesting list. I personally would love to see Robbie Ryan win for Poor Things. It's Yorgos Lanthimos' sort of director. He's done quite a few films with him. He did The Favourite. And I think Yorgos has a very distinct style. He loves to use those fish eyes and stuff, which...
Yeah.
I'll get to a little bit later in another topic, but I think comes together in post really, really well. He makes that work really well in post. But this one, I think, has a really interesting sort of visual narrative being told with every section. So, yeah. The way that we follow Emma Stone's character, I think, is really, really interesting. I don't know. Personally, I think it's probably going to go to either Oppenheimer or Killers of the Flower Moon. I think they both are... It's probably going to be Oppenheimer. I think Killers of the Flower Moon is shot beautifully. It really, really takes in those sort of Western landscapes really, really well. I think Oppenheimer is shot well, but I didn't come out going, fucking hell, the cinematography of that is incredible. So, I don't know. Who do you think?
I'm with you. I think Poor Things should win. And also, Killers of the Flower Moon could potentially be up there as well. I think it's one of the best parts of the film, along with Lily Gladstone. but yeah, I think it's one of those, again, you do just think Oppenheimer's going to sweep slightly, and this is one of the awards where I think it's very easily could go to Oppenheimer, even though maybe, yeah, it is shot well, I think, but I think you pick out more... the times when it's shot really well, whereas instead it's not like consistently shot like really, really well. It's just very consistently done, but you pick out like the best parts and are like, yeah, that's how fucking good it is. Whereas Poor Things is pretty consistent at being fucking great.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's unique. I think that's I personally think these awards are a great, like you said earlier, it's the great sort of time to reward newcomers. I think it's also a great excuse to reward uniqueness.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's just me personally.
The next one is costume design, in which the nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Costume design is not something that is in our wheelhouse in terms of. I think last year was it. I think we spoke about it before when Cruella won.
Yeah,
we were like, it's absolutely the only award Cruella should be winning.
It's like I think Suicide Squad, the original Suicide Squad.
Yes.
Makeup and hairstyling, which is like, I get it. It was really good, but also don't put it in contention for anything else.
I don't actually know who is at the forefront for this. I arguably think Barbie.
I was going to say Poor Things.
I would prefer, not that I'd prefer it over Barbie at all. I think both are very good. the costumes in it are very good for their own worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So either one can win it. But yeah, you could be right there, poor things. But in my head, for some reason, I got that Barbie would win this. I don't know why.
I mean, I do. To be fair, they might do that whole thing of Barbie needs to win something, otherwise people are going to riot.
Yeah.
I think it could easily win. I think I haven't seen Napoleon. I really hope if Oppenheimer wins this, it's fucking all hope is lost.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's a bunch of men in suits. Like, yeah. I'm sure the people who are involved are very talented, but Poor Things, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Barbie, I think all have very unique. Especially Poor Things, yeah. I just think like the costumes that that Emma Stone wears are great.
I'm absolutely waiting for this Halloween when people dress as Bella Baxter.
Oh my god! Yeah,
in a like big puffy like dresses and the shorts she wears.
I'll give you an example. Is that when I went to go and watch it at the cinema, they had a series of massive posters that were like fashion show esque posters with all the different costumes that she was in, and I was just like, it's kind of showing that off. And I thought for me, they're kind of trying to show that off about it. So I thought, yeah, but I don't know. Should we move on to directing?
Sure.
Nominees for this one are Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Mr. Chris for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for Zone of Interest. Chris is going to win this, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I don't want him to. I don't think the film's directed badly at all. Obviously, he's great, but it's very, as we said earlier, it is Oppenheimer's year. They want to give Chris a fucking Oscar at some point, not including Greta Gerwig in here. Should be a crime punishable by death, I think. But
yeah, it's madness.
What Greta did with Barbies. Oh, absolutely, for past lives. I mean, did Scorsese really need to get nominated for this? I like the film a lot. I like the film a lot, but I don't think there's anything about Killers of the Flower Moon that is exceptionally directed. It's well, but like as a film put together, I think is really impressive how he put it all together. But I don't think it was anything we haven't seen him do before. His last film was basically the same in terms of like large scale and structure and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is, but I don't know. Yeah, I think this was a wasted opportunity. I'm not mad about Yorgos Lanthimos being nominated for Poor Things either.
No, he
fucking directs the shit out of every film.
He really does.
He's got such a unique style to his filmmaking. Every time he makes a good film, I definitely think it's worth just having him in the conversation.
Interestingly, because I read somewhere that it was something like there was a certain percentage or something of it just wasn't that common that the person who wins the Golden Globe for Best Director doesn't win the Oscar. And I was like, oh, maybe it's just like this is Nolan. I looked back, it absolutely does happen. Quite a lot. Someone made the argument that Chloe Zhao, obviously it happened then, but before that it hadn't really happened. And I looked back, I was like, yeah, fair. Like, for example, Richard Linklater won for Boyhood in that year that Iñárritu won for Birdman, and then for example, like Sam Mendes won for 1917, and then Bong Joon-ho obviously went on to win the Oscar. But if you look back, it does happen. It's just fucking random. People trying to make a fuck. I've said this already in a previous podcast, but people trying to make fucking science out of this.
It doesn't. No, there's no science.
Random. Everyone and their fucking mum wants win everything this year, and they probably fucking will. So I think Nolan wins this. I think the fact that Greta Gerwig is not there is just fucking terrible. I think. And Celine Song as well. I don't know why, but I guess I just think they both should be there. But then again, I haven't seen Zone of Interest, so I can't judge Jonathan Glazer. I think he's a great director. So, and Yorgos Lanthimos deserves to be there. Martin Scorsese probably doesn't. And Anatomy of a Fall is great. It's a shame that's not been nominated. And I've seen, obviously, that's been a big controversy online with Greta Gerwig not being nominated. I just will leave it at, I think she should have been nominated.
It's one of those examples where, like, I guess in some respects I understand why they keep everything to 5, except Best Picture where they do 10. But they don't even always do 10. Sometimes they do 7 or 8 nominations for Best Picture.
Around, really.
Why can't you just do, like, some there isn't necessarily five best directors in a year.
No.
Like, they're all so vastly different and are so good in their own right. You could just make it six. And no one's going to fucking care. Why would anyone care? Do you know what I mean? Like, it would. No. If this is one of those things, I think, I mean, maybe we can do this post-actual Oscar show and seeing how many viewers they get. But there's been a trend recently of less and less viewers watching award shows. And I think part of the reason is that the award shows, especially the Oscars, are not willing to be flexible to what audiences actually want to see. Yeah, like, sure. they're willing to put some late night comedian on and have him do stupid bits up there, but they're not willing to add an extra position for Greta Gerwig for the directing. No one fucking cares if Jimmy or fucking whatever they're called is it? I don't even know who's doing it this year, but they always.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel. He always does it. No one fucking cares about Jimmy Kimmel's bits up there. If you remove Jimmy Kimmel, no one's going to care. If you added Greta Gerwig to the sixth as directing, people are going to care. And there's my little.
To be honest, they can keep it at five and just fucking nominate her over instead of, like, I love Martin Scorsese. Who in the world does not love Martin Scorsese, right? Yeah. But also, like, his films that he's won, he's been nominated multiple times. It kind of just feels like, because he's quite a classic director, and maybe the Academy has members who are quite classic people, in a nice way. I think that's kind of why he's there. And don't get me wrong,
white men. That's what you're saying. There's a lot of old white men.
He's a very old white man kind of director. And don't get me wrong, he's a legend, one of the best of all time. But he probably doesn't need to be. He's one of these directors who just gets nominated for fucking everything he does, and I don't really get it.
Absolutely.
It just doesn't need to happen.
I don't know the man personally, but he doesn't strike me as the kind of person that would care if he wins or not. No. He's kind of him and Spielberg and people like that kind of just strike me that they're kind of over that a little bit. They've had their big wins. Yeah. They've had their big trauma. They're just going to make what they want to make, and hopefully people like it.
And if you've got the legacy that the director like Martin Scorsese has, then why would you care?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And I'm sure he doesn't. Exactly. I'm sure he just sees it as like, oh, cool, okay.
Yeah.
I just think there's an argument to say nominate the five best, and then yes, there's an argument to be like, oh, okay, you nominate this, blah, blah, blah. I think with something like Greta Gerwig and Barbie, I think when the Academy are like, when they nominate their films and the Academy voters are like voting for their films, you have to kind of think about what the film represents and what you, like, the films you nominate and the people you nominate is about what the Academy represents slightly as well. So I think that's why, obviously, they've got in trouble in the past with representation and stuff like that. But I just think, you know, I don't know. I think it is quite an important nomination that should have happened, and it's a shame. But we'll move on before we get into a big, even more of a rant. So the next one is film editing. Nominees are Anatomy of Fall, Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Sorry, the sheet I'm looking at doesn't have the names. I'm sure Phil has it in front of him, but I'll let you take this one, because I know that this is more your wheelhouse than it is mine.
Yeah, I'll try and keep it short, but basically, I don't want Oppenheimer to win. I don't. I've said, you know, I've had my opinions about Oppenheimer editing, which you can go back and listen to our year in review. I don't think it's the best editing ever. It's actually the second film that her name is Jennifer Lame. Second film she's done with Nolan. She did Tenet with him, which I don't think is very well edited either. But she's had a great career. I was just saying to her, she did Hereditary, Marriage Story, loads of stuff. She's Manchester by the Sea. She had a great career. She's a very, very good editor. But I think one of the reasons Oppenheimer's editing doesn't work is it feels like Nolan kind of, I don't know how to describe it, he kind of doesn't have the same reined in ness that I think earlier or better films have had, that he was kind of just allowed to do whatever he wanted, and I think that bleeded into not just the runtime and the script writing, but a lot of different aspects too. I think this definitely should go to Poor Things, I'm going to butcher his name. Yorgos Mavro Pesarius. I butchered his name. I'm very sorry. I think the editing for Poor Things is motivated in a way that I think is absolutely fascinating, is brilliant. It's interesting. It makes, I think one of the most impressive things is making Yorgos's quite abrupt camera angles work. The cinematography is quite abrupt when you think about it. You have quite wide sweeping shots of different rooms, and then you cut to a handheld fisheye following certain characters, especially in that first half an hour or so. I think making that work in the edit is an impossible job that I think he does fantastically. And also, I mean, Thelma Shoemaker for Killers of Flower Moon, she's one of the best editors who's ever lived. She has directed, she's edited most of Scorsese's films now, I think, or at least has for a while. She's one of those, she's just one of those people that gets nominated every time she does a film, because I'm sure she can edit extremely well in her sleep. But yeah, those are my opinions on it. I think it's going to go to Oppenheimer. I think it would be, to me, it's not quite as bad, but to me, it would be like when Bohemian Rhapsody won.
Yeah, that just from my perspective, that is harsh, but I do understand
Do you know what I mean?
considering
It's
you're
not quite
I
that.
do what
It's
you
not
mean,
quite
yeah.
that harsh. It's not quite that bad. It's not
No.
bad editing, but I think there are way more deserving editors and films on this list. But I think they're just going to give it to him because I think it's Oppenheimer and Chris Nolan cheer.
I mean, I don't have much more else to say really, other than it's probably gonna go to Oppenheimer, and I think it probably should go to Poor Things. That's pretty much all I've got to say on the matter.
Yeah, that's understandable. The next one is a category I think I'm going to just have to leave up to you, which is international feature film. We have Io Capitano, Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and The Zone of Interest. I haven't seen any of these films. This is most of what I'm going to watch in the next month or two.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what happened last year as well. I ended up watching all five or four, three international features like in the week leading up to the Oscars. No, it's interesting. I think, well, the only reason kind of we wanted to talk about this a little bit was it was interesting that Anatomy of a Fall's not here, but we've kind of, because there's no way it wouldn't be nominated if it could, because it's obviously across screenplay and best picture and best director. And usually if that happens to an international film, it's going to win international feature. But maybe it is something to do with how they qualify the films. I know it's done by country, and they obviously put a film forward. Is that right? Because
Yeah,
technically,
basically.
I think technically, the Zone of Interest is the United Kingdom's film, because it's Jonathan Glazer. And then The Teacher's Lounge is Germany. Sight of the Snow is Spain. Perfect Day is obviously Japan. And Io Capitano is it Senegalese? Is that right?
I think it's Italian, actually, even
Oh, is
though
it Italian? Right, okay.
when I was reading the like little blurb about it, it starts in Senegal. But I think it's the Italian
Oh,
submission.
fair enough. I mean, if Anatomy of a Fall is not going to win, Zone of Interest is definitely going to win. I have to say, just I let me know today. In fact, I watched Fallen Leaves, which was the Finnish film that I think has been around awards season as well. It's really fucking good. But I can't judge because I haven't seen three of these films. Perfect Days, I'm not surprised is there because it was relatively big at Cannes, and it's just creeped up recently. And it's Wim Wenders, the director, who's pretty famous as well. I think Society of the Snow is quite a big film. I've also watched that; it's pretty good. But yeah, I think this goes to Zone of Interest. And I would just say that I think Kore-eda's Monster is one of the best films I've watched last year, and I'm sad it's not there. But you know it. That would be the Japanese film, but obviously they went with Perfect Days and it's been nominated, so you can't really complain.
No, I will watch Perfect Days for sure because I would li I love Kore-eda and I'm excited to see Monster too. And you've told me how good Monster is. So I'd like to know why they went with that. I always think it's interesting when you see films like that. It's interesting to know why they go with it. Maybe one of the reasons might be that Kore-eda's been put forward quite a few times because he's quite a
Essentially, yeah.
good current director to it. Usually, I feel like it's either Kore-eda or Miyazaki that gets pushed by the Japanese sort of Oscar board. So it's nice to see someone else, I guess.
But yeah, I do. Yeah, I think Zone of Interest is winning this. I think it's the same story every year that if there's a film nominated that's nominated in other categories or quite like across a few categories, it usually wins. It's happened since Parasite, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's absolutely great that it's been nominated in other categories. It just kind of makes this one slightly predictable.
Yeah, absolutely. The next category is makeup and hairstyling. Again, one that we have loads of experience. We know loads about. Now, of course,
we've got hair.
We do. Just
barely.
About.
Yeah, barely.
Well, we're clinging on. We have Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow. I mean, I don't really, I say, we don't really know a whole lot. I feel like Poor Things would be the one for me.
Actually,
I think Willem Dafoe's character has got interesting, I guess that comes under makeup. I think that's a very interesting way to portray his character, and I don't think at any point it ever looks bad. I think it looks great all the way through.
Yeah,
and I think you get the sort of the double bill of a character that you have to use quite a lot of makeup to make them look real in Willem Dafoe, but you've got Emma Stone's character, just everyone she's around to, every female character, I think, has such a unique and fascinating look.
Absolutely,
and the hairstyling's definitely going to be a part into that too. Aside from that, I wouldn't have a clue.
Neither. I mean, the obvious, I think just because it's obvious makeup is Maestro. And I think also Golda, I haven't seen it, but also know it's, again, that sort of like central character, heavy aesthetic. So,
I don't know about Maestro, though. That later stuff in Maestro, he does look a little bit like a candle melting.
Yeah.
He reminds me a little bit. Do you remember when Ian McKellen did that?
Mr. Holmes, yeah.
Mr. Holmes. Yeah, he reminds me a little bit of that.
A melted candle, yeah. Good stuff. But yeah, I'm not sure on that one. We'll have to see on the night, I guess. Who knows? Fucking Oppenheimer could win that one.
oh, God. He's going to win everything. Could you imagine it if it did literally win everything?
Next one is Music Original Score. The nominations are American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer and Poor Things. Is this Oppenheimer as well going to win this?
Probably. This is Ludwig Göransson. I think it's probably going to go to Oppenheimer. This is one of the few ones I'm not mad about, to be honest. I think the way the score's used is really, really good. The sort of ticking time aspect of it, I think, is really, really interesting. I don't know what else I would potentially... Should you just give one to John Williams for Indiana Jones? He doesn't have enough nominations, so... I haven't actually seen Indiana Jones yet. I'm sure the score is good, though. The kind of crazy thing is that he just knocks out the park every time.
Every time.
It's great. Every time. It's great.
Yeah, I don't really have a preference here. Maybe Poor Things, again. I really like everything about that film. I thought it was fucking brilliant.
It's unique. The next one is a music original song. So for this, we have The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot. I totally forgot they even came out this year. I'm Just Ken from Barbie. It Never Went Away from American Symphony. A Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon, which is the English title. I really don't want to butcher the Osage title. What Was I Made For from Barbie, which is the Billie Eilish one. It's funny, actually. Was it the Globes that I'm Just Ken won Best Song for?
Critics' Choice won.
Oh, Critics' Choice, yeah. There's that really funny video of Ryan Gosling looking very puzzled as it won, because it is very strange, because that's a funny song, but like, What Was I Made For is a much, much better song and probably should have won it. And actually, I was going to say potentially that until I just looked up the Killers of Flower Moon song. And as I said, it's the song that's over the end when they do that massive, like when they do that, the shot I absolutely love, where they have the group of the Osage people and the camera comes up for ages. It's that. And do you know what? After re-listening to that, reminding myself which song it was, I think that should probably win. I think it's a really interesting thing when it comes to original song, that do you give it to the just generally the best song, or do you give it to the song that has the most impact in the film as well? And I personally, I like including the film too, because I think it gives so much more to the song rather than just a cool song
Absolutely,
in the
yeah.
film. And I think that song is extremely powerful at the end. Yeah, I don't know about how. What do you think? Because I still think Billie Eilish is probably going to win, but
Yeah, I think Barbie definitely wins. It just depends which one it is. I think
oh God.
I'm Just Ken is an absolute bop, but I think it should just be there for Ryan Gosling to perform at the Oscars, and it probably, I think the Billie Eilish song should win.
I
Because
hope
I mean
that's
that,
the only reason it's there, that no one actually expects this when they just want to
yeah.
watch Ryan Gosling do it at
But
the
you are right.
Oscars.
I think it's an integral, if it's an integral part of the mood and feeling of a film, I think it becomes more important. I think something like Remember Me from Coco, for
Oh,
example.
oh my
And
God.
even though it wasn't in the film, like, for example, I think there is an argument to say, like, the films that accompany, like, songs that accompany the films are like the Selma song from, I thought was pretty good as well. But you
Yeah.
know, I think Barbie wins this. I didn't even know, I forgot Flaming Hot came out. I don't know the song, but no, I think it just depends which one it goes to, really. I think it probably should be the Billie Eilish one, though.
Probably. I was actually going to ask if you knew the Flaming Hot song.
No. So the next one is production design, in which Barbie is nominated, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. To keep it brief, I think this goes to, I think it should go to Barbie or Poor Things.
Absolutely.
I
Absolutely.
don't know who's going to win this. Part of me is leaning towards Barbie, but I'm not sure. But either of them, for me, absolutely should be one of those
Absolutely.
two, categorically.
I think it is probably annoyingly is going to lean more towards Poor Things. I say annoyingly, I'm just not annoyed at all. I think the world that they created, especially when they go to places like Lisbon and stuff, we're going around on the boat, all of that I think is fantastic. I think the way that they made Barbie Land in Barbie is astonishing though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I the detail in it is just incredible. Either of those, I think, could take it. What if fucking Oppenheimer wins?
Honestly, I just think, like, it's, I know, I mean, I can say that I probably could have said this about any of the times we've just said, what if Oppenheimer wins? I like Oppenheimer, but for an award that is definitely going to sweep and people, you know, are regarding as like a modern masterpiece, it's not. Like, the gap that people think Oppenheimer has between the rest of the films that are nominated at the Oscars. It just feel like it's annoying as well in these categories. I'm not going to say smaller categories, but the ones that the more technical categories, the ones that, like, they kind of just, if it's a big film, they all just seem to win it. Like, and it's just a bit frustrating. So for this has to go Barbie or Poor Things for me. It just has to.
It has to. No, I'm 100% with you there. I haven't seen Napoleon yet. Maybe it will
No, I
sneak
haven't
in.
either.
Maybe there's some good sets in Napoleon there. I think Colors of the Flower Moon has some really cool sets too, but I don't think
Yeah,
it
of course.
does the unique ingenuity that either Barbie or Poor Things has. So,
No.
but we'll see. The next one is sound, which by this point there was a while where they were separating sound into multiple different awards where they've just condensed it into one called sound. We have The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest. I think this is realistically the only one that Maestro could win for.
Yeah.
I think in particular, I don't think it will, but I think in particular that sort of the major performance sequence, I think is really, really well done. And any sequence when there's a large orchestra, I think is incredibly well done. The sound design is phenomenal. Mission Impossible could win, though. I think this is an award that they do like to sometimes give to a film like that when you have big, smashy, crashy, banging stuff. I think they quite like giving it to a film like that sometimes. I don't know. I'm not a sound engineer. Oppenheimer's probably going to win,
Interesting.
though.
It makes me. It makes me interested to watch. Not that, I mean, I'm already interested in watching The Zone of Interest, but to know what specifically about Zone of Interest puts it in this sound nomination. Because you're right, it is these sort of big, crashy, smashy films, and it's also usually the ones that are, about music or something like that. We're all quite showy in that regard, and that's exactly what Maestro is.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I just think with Maestro, it is those kind of like musically inclined films, and I think you're right, it probably is the most likely one it could win, and I'd probably be okay with it winning. It's probably going to go to Oppenheimer, though, you're right.
The next one was the first of the writing, which is writing adapted screenplay, which we have American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Two notes on this. First of all, I don't even know what Poor Things is adapted from. I didn't know it was adapted.
Yeah, it's a book.
There you go. Didn't know that. Interesting. Did you? How do you feel about Barbie getting nominated for adapted screenplay?
Doesn't matter. I'll be honest, because I don't know what the parameters they have for adapted. What the fuck is it adapted from, other than a toy? This is a very highly original script. This foundation is based on a product, sure, but I think the script's pretty fucking original. I don't really get how it's adapted. Are they just saying if it's based on something that already exists? Is that essentially what they're saying? I don't really understand
the amount of stuff. You could claim that, like the amount of like where yeah. does that sort of so like Mission Impossible? Are you going to say that Mission Impossible is adapted because it's based off of a previous film or an already existing American spy agency? You know what I mean? I don't know why they've done that. It just seems really random to me. It doesn't feel like an adapted screenplay at all for me.
It's like a thing that, like, was it last year? I'll get my years mixed up. Top Gun Maverick was adapted screenplay?
Yeah, because
adapted from the first film, though, that's what they're counting. Yeah,
but that's what they claimed. That's stupid. Doesn't make sense to me.
But no. In terms of what I actually do think Barbie will win this.
Do you? I would hope so. If Oppenheimer wins. I know I keep having that reaction every time. But this is one I really do not want Oppenheimer to win for. Not that it's a bad screenplay, but it's not even like top five screenplays for Nolan, let alone top five screenplays of this year.
I just kind of think, so if, say we've got, that they've got this rule, right, that if it's adapted from something. So I don't know like how well it's been adapted from the story. I don't know. I've not read Poor Things. I don't know how well Yorgos Lanthimos, I don't know how he's adapted that, how well he's done that. Yeah. It's a great fucking screenplay. I really like it. But I think if you're judging it based, then if you say Barbie's not original, it's adapted, and what they've adapted it from is literally just a toy, what they made that into is fucking amazing.
Unbelievably impressive.
Yeah. And the story built around that, and the way that it kind of celebrates, well, I mean, doesn't celebrate Barbie, but also kind of like explores Barbie in the way it does and what it means, you know. And I also think just like the impact, it explores sort of like the impact it's had on our culture. I just think it's wonderful. And I think actually, if that is the rule that it's now adapted from this, it should have, it's more reason for it to win it.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any real competition here, to be honest. I don't get me wrong, I love Poor Things screenplay. I think it's great, but it's not what Barbie had done. You know, it's the same thing. Like, I thought Killers of the Flower Moon did a good job of adapting from its book. It would have been nice to get a nod, I guess, for a screenplay, but it doesn't hold a candle to Barbie. This is Barbie's category. Barbie doesn't get this.
Yeah, because I do think it will win this. I think absolutely. I think it will. Now and on to the next category, which is the original screenplay, which the nominees are Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and Past Lives. Now, I'm a bit torn here because I like every single film here quite a lot.
Yes.
Think what will win is Anatomy of the Fall, which I'm absolutely fine with. Fine. I think it's really interesting story that isn't just courtroom. It's more of an exploration of a marriage, a broken marriage, and the effects on a child. And it's super interesting. There's elements of mystery, but I think the emotional scenes are written to perfection. I think it will win. Personally, if I, you know, had to choose, I'd want Past Lives to win.
Yeah,
I think it deserves it. But I mean, maybe other than Maestro, I would be okay, I think, with any of them winning. I mean, I'd probably be a bit miffed if like May December won over Past Lives or Anatomy of a Fool. But the Holdovers is also great, and Alexander Payne. There's always that thing of maybe he will. Did Alexander Payne actually write the screenplay? Can you see in front of you? Because obviously the names aren't on here.
No, there's a guy called David Hemmingson.
Oh, fair. Well, I stand corrected. But no, I think the Holdovers. When you watch the Holdovers, 100%. It's and the same with May December. Weirdly, they scream screenplay award. I don't know why. I don't. It's such a weird thing to say.
This is the only thing this guy's ever written. Sorry, it's the only film he's ever written.
You know, when we watched Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
Didn't that film just absolutely scream screenplay? Like,
oh,
winner.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And I think a little bit May December and May December and the Holdovers have that vibe as well. But I think Anatomy of a Fall wins this.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't seen it yet, so I wouldn't be mad about it. I imagine I will love it. I think Maestro should go into adapted if Barbie's in adapted, because
what's the rules?
That doesn't make you're making a biopic. How is Barbie not essentially the same thing? I'm gonna get hung up on it. I think Past Lives would be my personal pick. However, I would get why it wouldn't win, because you know one of the best things about the film is like you previously said is what it does with its silence, the impact, the silent moment have. You can't exactly write impactful silent moments in a screenplay.
Do you know what?
Where you place them is good, but that comes through the performances and the direction. So
absolutely.
I could understand why it might not.
One thing I actually, when I went to, because obviously that's something that we were, but have been both very interested in, like writing and stuff like that. From personal level, just the learning curve.
Oh, yeah.
I was interested to know how someone does write in those kind of silences. So Past Lives kind of has that as well, is that it kind of, I mean, they're all great, and as someone who maybe likes to think they one day would love to write something, it's super interesting to watch these films, because these are like the highest of highest, like screenplays. So it's not a bit Past Lives that I was super interested in that, but no, Past Lives is probably the personal favorite here. But again, I'm not going to be annoyed. I'm not going to say when Anatomy of a Fall wins it. It may not, but if it wins it.
Yeah, absolutely. Shall we do the final category? Best Picture, the big boy.
Yeah, boy.
So the nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. I think it's nice. I remember when you said in our year in review about how you always do the thing of being like, oh, I haven't seen that much good stuff this year. And then kind of towards the end of the year, you catch up with all the good stuff. I think this goes to show how good this year really is. I am a little bit, I don't really know why Maestro is there, but that's it. As I said earlier, it's Bradley Cooper just being a fucking, you know, Hollywood darling, I guess. Oppenheimer's going to win.
Yes.
I don't want it to. It's going to win. I don't know what I think should win, like my personal opinion. I could make an argument. I think it for me is between two. It's either Barbie or Past Lives. But Past Lives doesn't scream Best Picture to me. But it is probably the best film of the year, in my opinion, which I guess is what should be Best Picture. But I think something you have to do with Best Picture is take into the account the impact it's had on the industry.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I think Parasite won Best Picture the year it came out is because it was a film that was just completely circumvented the non-English language barrier. That people who don't watch films in a non-English language watched it. It was watched by everyone. And I think Barbie had a similar thing of just reaching an astronomical audience for a film that is incredibly well made, and also has such an important message that I think is very, very timely. I just think, and it's like you said earlier, what Greta did with the film to take when we all heard that there was going to be a Barbie film, I'm pretty sure we had the reaction of, what the fuck is that going to be about? And turning that reaction into this film, I think, is very, very special. Which is a shame, because Oppenheimer's going to win. But
it is. I think this is the thing. This is when I'm going to sound like I'm going back on everything I've preached for Barbie, because I do think it deserves a screenplay award, and I think Greta Gerwig deserved a nomination. I don't think it should win Best Picture. There's films I absolutely prefer, but you are right. If you take into account what these Best Pictures should represent and the impact it's had, Barbie should absolutely be a front runner. And also, like, it's a bit like Everything Everywhere All at Once, a film that just was absolutely kind of just... there's not been many films that have blended sort of the high concept with the sort of indie film.
Strange
mesh of worlds that it was just made it such a fucking phenomenal film. No, Barbie wouldn't be like my personal pick. If I'm saying who's going to win, it's obviously going to be Oppenheimer. But see, all these points we're making, all this fun we're having just talking about it, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Oppenheimer's just going to win.
It's going to win everything.
I would like Past Lives to win. I think it's the best film of the year. And you know, they're all great films. I think Maestro's there is like the bar end of, you know, you get those films every year that just no one remembers.
I've just realized why it's got nominated. Spielberg was one of the producers.
Oh, right. Fair.
That's why I got nominated so much. I've just realized. There you go.
But just what we're doing. Who do I think will win? Oppenheimer. Who would I prefer to win? Past Lives. I like the holdovers as well. I think it's fucking great. I think it's going to be a predictable year.
Unfortunately, because I said earlier that, like, I think that, you know, it's not been a particularly surprising year in terms of nominees. And sometimes I do quite like a good surprising year, like when Parasite got nominated for so much and when Everything Everywhere got nominated for so much. And then on the night when they started winning and you're like, holy shit, this feels big. Like, and it feels big in the industry when you don't get the Oscar baity films winning all the time. Like the year Green Book won, and you sat there like, it feels like you take 2 steps forward with films like Everything Everywhere, and then you take 15 steps back with a film like Green Book. And I'm not saying that Oppenheimer is like Green Book. I don't feel like we'll be taking 15 steps back by it winning, but I don't know. It kind of feels like, to me, if it does win everything, it kind of feels like it's like, oh, well, there you go. There's Nolan's Oscars now. And I don't like that personally. I'm not a fan of the career win, as it were. You know, this person's had a really good career. We feel like we should give them their year. I'm not a fan of that personally. If they didn't make the best film in the year, they didn't make the best film. You know?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's a blend of sort of, well, the thing is, we've had a couple of quite good years at the Oscars of films we like winning, so it's probably about time we get disappointed. I say that like I didn't like Oppenheimer. I actually did really like it. Because the amount people were like awarding it and praising it, I'm just like, calm down. Like,
I'll give you an example is that I had quite a lot of people who like film but don't like award shows interested this year. And once the nominees, particularly for the Oscars, came out, they saw how much Oppenheimer was nominated, and things like, just for example, things like Barbie didn't get loads of nominations. Loads of people just switched off and they have no interest in watching it now. Because they're kind of like, well, Oppenheimer's going to win. And for a lot of people, they either didn't watch, I'm talking about this specific people, they didn't watch Oppenheimer because either they're not interested in it as a film, or they're kind of just like, I'll get to it when I get to it. I don't think it's grabbed those people who would normally watch the Oscars. And I know you shouldn't cater your wins around making people watch. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying it does kind of feel like, I don't know, it feels predictable, and I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't have a very large viewership, partially due to how predictable it feels. People just are like, well, there's not a whole lot of point watching because Oppenheimer is probably going to do the big sweep, the Oppenheimer sweep.
The sweep Sweepenheimer.
That's good.
Look, I think
March 10th, the Sweepenheimer day.
I will say this about the career wins. Sometimes I'm okay if I know it's a fine line to walk. I'm okay celebrating someone's career as long as their performance or film merits it. If that makes sense, like if it merits it within the year, like it's a fine line that's not always achieved. And while this is, I don't fully think. Because in reality, I mean, Nolan actually isn't that beloved by the Academy, is he? I suppose, but I mean, he is one of the biggest all time, so they're definitely going to want to give him all the awards at some point. And I think this year is the year they've realised they can do that. I just don't think he has made the best film of the year, which is a shame.
I think the way to I might have even said this to you before, but I feel like the way to circumvent the career win, someone giving like Best Director, Best Picture to Nolan for his career, is that you just do, if someone has a year, so this is one of those years, you have an award that you only give, you don't give it every year, but you give it, and so like you do a career award every now and again. So like it, you just like when Leo won for The Revenant, instead of having him, maybe he does deserve that win. I don't know. I can't remember what else was nominated that year. But you could also just go, and this year, we're also going to give a career highlight to Leo DiCaprio. And do the same thing, but like this year, we're going to do a career highlight for Christopher Nolan. And you do a whole big package showing everything in their career and just say, Oppenheimer feels like an amalgamation. Because people do have those years, but you don't have to do it every year. You only do it when it feels right to do it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, I mean,
and I feel like that would make it so much more special as well.
Absolutely, because it's a celebration of the person and the film.
Yeah, exactly. But
whereas wasting your award. But, I mean, they used to do career lifetime achievements, didn't they?
But I feel like doing a lifetime achievement every year is a very strange... Like, I know some of which is a weird one, but...
Golden Globes do that, don't they? The Cecil B. DeMille Award. But it's more of a celebration of the person and their body of work, I guess. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we're obviously going to watch the show, and once it's over, it's over, and we can all go to sleep and prepare for the next year. So,
okay. Yeah, unfortunately. No, I'm kidding. I feel like we sound like we've ragged on Oppenheimer a lot. We both do like it. I know you like it a bit more than me. We both do like it. It is a good film. It does just feel like a bit of a foregone conclusion. It's going to win a bunch of these awards. And I don't know. There's other things I would prefer to win, but unfortunately, we're not on the Academy.
Not yet.
Yeah, obviously, we're both going to make individual films and win Best Picture back to back.
Yeah, we're going to be up against each other in the same year.
Yeah, and we're going to kill each other.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
That does bring it to a close. That was our knee-jerk reaction. As we said, we haven't watched everything. We are going to watch everything. And by the time the Oscars comes around, we can carry on moaning about other films that we've watched that are really good, new ones that we've watched that are really good, losing to Oppenheimer. So that just,
should we make a pact now? If there is a Sweepenheimer, we try to stay positive and don't moan about it in the post-Oscar show. Because I don't like being too negative. I feel like we sometimes do have our rants and stuff, which is fun. But I feel like we shouldn't be too negative. We should...
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Let's make a pact. Because actually, like you just said, neither of us actually dislikes Oppenheimer. We have pretty much just spent this entire podcast ragging on it. But
yeah. Including when it's been nominated.
It was a really good film. So maybe, we'll make a pact. We won't do that. We'll just say what a shame it is that the other films haven't won and what kind of night it was. Because we don't want just two podcasts of us ragging on Oppenheimer.
No, we want 5,000 podcasts of us ragging on Oppenheimer every day for the next 10 years.
We've also got the BAFTAs to come as well. That'd be interesting.
And the
SAG Awards, which is on Netflix, actually.
Yes.
So that'd be cool. That's all from us. Next podcast we're going to be doing, hopefully, is a review show. Because, and obviously, like Phil said, we've been around this time of year, we are watching a lot of the Oscar films. And though we're a bit late to the reviews, we will be able to give our takes on them. Things like Maestro and Poor Things and other films, hopefully.
All the films.
You can find us on realreviewing.com. Or anywhere that you listen to your podcasts. We are the Real Film Podcast. Neither of us have X anymore, do we?
No.
And I still don't know what my Letterboxd handle is. So I'm not going to plug that, but if you can find me, you're welcome to follow me.
That's so cryptic, if you can find me.
Bill, do you know your Letterboxd handle?
Hang on. My Letterboxd handle is Philson Wilson, and if you want to follow Corey is... why doesn't it tell me what your handle is?
Oh, I thought you had it tattooed on your arm.
Corey S. Jordan.
Yeah, that's it, Corey
S. Jordan. So if you want to follow us at Letterboxd, I am Philson Wilson, he is Corey S. Jordan. So our names, why is that difficult to remember? but you can find, and you can also find us on Letterboxd at Real Reviewing. Reviews from Real. That's one of the two places it's not Real Reviewing.
Yeah, why don't you let us know what socials we're on as Real Reviewing as well?
All of them. X, Threads, Instagram, Facebook, all of those we're Real Reviewing. And then we're Reviews from Real on Tumblr and Letterboxd. And I can't remember why. I think it was just because they wouldn't let me have that name for some reason.
That's fine. We will promise you get better at this housekeeping section at the end of the podcast. But
no,
for now,
it's just a perpetual thing. This podcast has been going for like 3 years, 4 years, I think it'll be.
We've never actually treated it like an actual podcast.
We just never treat this bit very well, do we? No, every single podcast has a terrible ending. It just awkwardly wraps up with us fumbling over Real and Reviewing.
But if you have listened to that, thank you. Like, seriously, I don't know why you have. But we'll catch you in the next one.
Bye.